Well, God bless you guys and good morning again. Good to see you. We missed you guys, but it was great. Lisa and I got a chance to sneak away and meet some friends on the East Coast and spend a wonderful week just kind of refreshing and getting some energy back. And I'm excited because we're beginning a brand new message series called MySpace. How many of you guys remember MySpace? Some of you old enough to remember MySpace. So before, for those who are scratching your heads going, I don't know what that is, before the rise of Facebook and Instagram and even Twitter, there was something called MySpace. We'll call it the stepmother of all social media. Some will debate when social media began, and I don't want to get into that argument, but I will tell you that MySpace was really what defined what it looked like to connect people. You might be surprised to find out that from 2005 to 2008, MySpace was the largest social, this is not too long ago, about 10 years ago, MySpace was the largest social networking site in the world. Even as of 2015, MySpace still had 50.6 million original, unique monthly visitors. Still that many, just a matter of 4 years ago, still has 1 billion active and inactive users. That's a lot of profiles for something that we thought had completely gone away. Now, so why does MySpace still have 1 billion accounts? Why does Facebook have 2.3 billion accounts, almost a third of the planet's population? And Instagram has 1 billion users, 500 million of which use the platform every single day. And here's one that I think that sociologists would back me up on, and psychologists would back me up on, and theologians would back me up on, is that we have an almost painful awareness of ourselves. We want to be noticed. We want to be recognized. We want to be valued. We want our lives to matter. But in a world of 7 billion people, even in our own city, even in our own job, maybe even in our own home, we find it hard to matter. We find it hard to feel the significance in other people's lives like we feel in our own lives. We think we matter more than we matter to the people around us. In other words, we don't really think we're making that big of a difference in our world, much less the world around us. And even with the reach and the power of social media, do you realize that people in Africa and China and Switzerland, anywhere in the world, they can instantaneously view your profile, instantaneously connect with you, instantaneously communicate with you, instantaneously share ideas and values and thoughts and opinions with you. And with all of the countless posts that we put up and all of the numerous pictures that we post and the videos and the status updates, eating a sandwich this morning, good to eat eggs again. You know, it's like we bring each other into the most benign, meaningless moments in our lives because we want our lives to matter with all of the memes that we share and the reposts and the gifts and the likes that we get or don't get. Boy, do you ever put something on and you think people are going to love this and you get 13 likes, you're like, I guess they didn't love it. I find that whenever I post something that Lisa's in, my like count goes way, way up. So I just have her stand in the background of every post I make. Even after the reach of all that, and even after creating all of those profiles and sharing all of those things and doing all that and working so hard, we still feel small. We still feel unrecognized. We still feel insignificant. We still feel underappreciated. We still feel underrecognized. We still feel undervalued. We even feel invisible because we keep trying and we keep trying and we keep trying. Here's a hard truth that you and I have to swallow. No matter how many social media profiles we build, I'm not speaking to the evil of any of those things. What I'm speaking to is the inefficiency and ineffectiveness that they have to give us what we're actually looking for. Of all the social media profiles that we build, all they do is publicize who we already are. They don't make us someone different than we are. We can polish it. We can shine it. We can put angles on it. We can put filters on it. Last night, I was messing around. My oldest son and daughter-in-law were over, and we all started messing around with the Snapchat filter that if you're a guy, it makes you look like a girl, and if you're a girl, it makes you look like a guy. And we were laughing, and then there's one that makes you look like a baby, right? Do you ever notice, though, once you've gotten the filter of yourself, there's still something off? For instance, my female had a beard, and that was just a little bit off, right? You sort of recognize things aren't the way they're supposed to be. And no matter how hard we work at all of that, we realize that it doesn't make our marriage better than it actually is. And it doesn't make our finances any better than they actually are. It doesn't make our emotional health better than it actually is. It doesn't grow our strength further than it already is. Doesn't make your relationship with Christ any better, your relationship with your kids any better. It doesn't make you any happier than you are. All it does is really reveal just the substance and character of who you are, at least the one that you want everyone to see. But it doesn't make you a more significant person. And that's the big lie that we tell ourselves, is that now that we have this platform and it makes our voice seemingly equal with everyone else's voice in the world, and it makes our profile equal to everyone else's profile in the world, we think that we're going to have equal significance in the world. And that's the big lie that we believe. The only profile in your life that actually matters is the one you wake up to, the one that you go to sleep to, the one that you live inside of every single day. That profile doesn't exist on Facebook or an Instagram server. It exists in how you live your life. It doesn't exist because of a carefully chosen picture, because the reality is your biggest impact is going to be made when there's no cameras around, when there's no selfies being taken, when you're just living life every single day. It's not created because of a political meme that you share. It's created because you have meaningful, real conversations with people. Every thought, every word, every choice, every prayer, every action, the way you choose to live your life every single day is the profile that matters most. It's the one you build a legacy with. It's the one that you leave to your kids and their kids and their kids after that. And there is no one in control of your profile except for you. And here's the exciting part about all of that, is that you have the opportunity in your profile and the way that you live your life and the choices that you make, that you can live a life of significance, of meaning, of value for you. Listen, you were created for all of that. So the yearning to be significant, the yearning to be valuable, the yearning to make an impact, that exists in you because you are created in the very image of God. And God wants you to make an impact, and God's created you to make an impact, and your life is meant to be shared, but in a way that actually matters. And so we're going to talk for the next few weeks about living within your space and making big changes within small places so that you can actually change the world. But today, we're going to build a profile that actually makes a difference in the world through number one. To build a profile that actually makes a difference in the world, my space has to be my highest priority. My highest priority. So listen, in a world of unlimited and constant and instant access to the news and information and feedback and opinions and entertainment and the ability to actually peek into each other's lives, we know about each other. Like, I haven't seen people for years, and they'll say, yeah, my son just got married, or I just went on a trip, and I go, yeah, I know, I've been watching you on Facebook, which sounds terribly creepy, right? But if it pops up on my feed, I look. I'm interested in people's lives just like you are. So at times that can be harmless. It can even be helpful to help us stay connected. But listen to me, it can be the fatal distraction that makes you and I paralyzed in building our own lives, in building our own profile. I would say, I feel safe saying this, that the greatest threat to reaching our highest and best potential in life is being distracted by the lives of other people. Because when you're focusing on everyone else and how their life is better or how their life is worse or how their life looks prettier or how their life looks uglier, or you're just fascinated by what goes on around you instead of what's going on inside your space, I want to tell you something. You'll never take the time to work on you while you're observing everyone else. So I want to show you something really quick. Give me a couple volunteers. Who wants to volunteer? There you go. Thank you, Karen. Give me another. Here, Carson, come here. Take that.
I'm doing it.
There you go. Hi, you're in service. Good for you. Okay, just stand down here. Give me another couple. Laurent, come up here. Come on, hurry up. Don't keep the church waiting. There's your, you know you're good at this. Okay, so I have to keep one for myself. Now, everybody get inside your hula hoop. Now, I'm not going to ask you, if you can't, do any of you guys hula hoop? Do any of you know how? Try it. Just try it real quick. There you go. Karen, do you know how? Do it. Let me see. All right. We'll try it. There you go. Carson, do you know how? Have you ever? Go ahead. All right. I'm not going to do it because I have a mic pack on. It'll stop me from reaching my... Oh, jeez. You really want to see me swing my hips around? All right, let's see if I can do it. All right. All right, now hold these right here. Now listen, this is, for our purposes, this is our space. This is my space. Inside of here is everything that matters to me, everything that I am, whether it matters to me or not, it still exists within my life. Inside of this space right here is my marriage and my money and my faith and my beliefs and my influence and my thoughts and my past and my mistakes and my sins and my secrets. Everything that I am exists in this space. Well, I got to tell you, living this close to my stuff, that can be a little overwhelming. It can feel like I'm drowning inside my space. And so what we often do is we go outside. I like to look in Karen's space. I like to look in Heather's space. I like to look in Laurent's space. And Carson's my son, so I like to definitely focus on his space and go, you need to improve your space, and you need to drive better in your space, and you need to do better in school in your space. And I like, if I can keep focused on their stuff, because we all get to peek inside of each other's space. The problem is that as much as I can see inside of yours, it allows me to look past my own stuff. The problem is I keep carrying this around with me. I never leave this. And when I neglect to focus on this, the things that are bad just keep getting worse. And the things that are good never get nurtured, never get fed. The health never increases in those things. The greatest threat to my faith, the greatest threat to my marriage, the greatest threat to me taking care of this is looking at them, looking at all of you, because all of you have one of these too. You see, we live with this. This net, we can't shed this, and we can take all the pretty angles that we want, right? We always find the angle that works. I hate to say it, I'm getting good at selfies. I'm realizing angles matter. I watch these teenage girls, and they're always like, holding the camera way over here, and I'm like, what are you doing? And then I go, oh, yeah, I see it now. Kind of looks like someone else took the picture, like you're not that vain and you're not taking pictures of yourself. And you go, yeah, I notice, okay, my nose doesn't look so weird, and I'm starting to really. So we were just with some friends, and we were taking lots of selfies together because, you know, there's not always someone around to take a picture. And I would do this. Click, 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 click. I would just move it all around and take like 70 pictures because I'll go later and find the perfect angle. And that's how we do. We do it that way because we're not always happy with what we really look like. You see, because nobody has a front row seat to our lives except for us. And so as long as Karen's focused on mine, or Heather's focused on mine, Laurent, Carson, they're all focused on mine, you're focused on mine, it gets you out of being focused on yours. Give these guys a hand for helping me out, and you can just throw them down there. Thank you, guys. Tried it one more time. Listen to what 1 Thessalonians 4:11 through 12 says. It says, aspire to lead a calm and peaceful life. I want you to hear this because I feel like it's maybe a little out of order, not intentionally, but the way we read it. Aspire to lead a calm and peaceful life as you mind your own business and earn your living just as we have taught you. By doing this, you'll live an honorable life, influencing others and commanding respect of even unbelievers. Let me stop for just a second because it feels like it says, aspire to live a calm and peaceful life as you mind your own business. Like, do this first and also do. I think the calm and peaceful life comes from minding your own business. Do you know that's where the expression comes from? The one we use all the time? It says, by doing this, you'll live an honorable life, influencing others. It's so counterintuitive to us that we believe that by minding our own space, that we're going to affect the spaces of other people. But that's exactly what Scripture tells us. But the problem is that you and I feel like we're not having an impact unless we're trying to fix the people around us. I'm not telling you it's wrong to want that. I'm telling you that you and I have a lot of groundskeeping to do within our own space. Listen to what Paul writes in his second letter to the Thessalonians. That was the first one. He says, you gotta live a quiet, mind your own business. And then he says, we hear some of you in your group refuse to work. They do nothing but busy themselves in other people's lives. He says, I'm begging you, mind your own business. Take care of yourself. You have needs in your own life that only you can take care of because God is wanting to do work with you, in you. And he needs you to participate. He needs you to partner with him. Focusing on the space of everyone else. It's not being thoughtful or humble or helpful or concerned. It's being arrogant and self-righteous to think that we're ready to help other people when we're not even ready to work on our own space. Listen to this parable Jesus spoke. He says, what happens if a blind man leads a blind man? Won't both of them fall into a pit? Your translation may say ditch. You can't turn out better than your teacher. When you're fully taught, you'll resemble your teacher. Speaking of blindness, why do you focus on the speck in your brother's eye? Why don't you see the log in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, oh, brother, let me help you take that little speck out of your eye, when you don't even see the big log in your own eye? What a hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye. Then you'll be able to see clearly enough to help your brother with the speck in his eye. Jesus says, get help first. Help yourself first. Take care of your space first. Then you can start helping people with their spaces. Leading a quiet life, minding your own business, empowers you and enables you. Thank you, Caleb. My kids are worried I'm going to fall off the stage and break my neck. Number two is this: to build a profile that actually makes a difference in the world, my space has to be my biggest responsibility. So God's created us for significance and influence. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to teach you to be only worried about yourself. And if you're only worried about yourself, you don't have to care about what's happening around you. The exact opposite is true. God has created us for influence and significance. But when you and I get busy judging the spaces of other people, when we're active in assessing what more people need, or honestly, sometimes we assess what people have and what we don't think they deserve. Sometimes we look into the lives of other people and we think, why do they get that? I'm trying to follow Christ. I'm trying to live a humble life. I'm trying to live a servant's life. I volunteer at church. I go faithfully on Sundays. I read scripture. I pray every day. You know, I recently ran across, maybe you've seen it, the news has been pushing it hard, that a pastor of a mega church, which is factually not true, recently, after 40 years of being a Christian, has given up his faith and walked away. The thing that the article failed to mention was that he says, I went to marriage counseling. I did all the things I was supposed to do. What he doesn't say is that he was having an affair the whole time. So he really wasn't doing what he was supposed to do. He said, I read the Bible and I went to church. What he never talks about is his personal relationship with Christ. And he blames the whole church. And he says, church people are crappy people. And I thought, wow, he's single-handedly dismantled Christianity because it failed for him. More importantly, he failed at it. He failed at his marriage and then blamed that nothing worked for him. And he blamed Christianity for not working for him. Isn't it interesting how you and I have a way of when things go wrong, it's everyone else's responsibility. When things go right, well, we're in charge of all the things that went right in our lives. We have a terrible habit of making excuses instead of making a way for it to become reality. You see, our space will never get better, will never improve by judging the space of other people. I don't think that you and I aren't supposed to judge anything. That's irresponsible and it's not even biblical. It's that you and I aren't supposed to make unrighteous judgments, ones that aren't based in scriptural foundation. And one of the greatest commands for you and I to follow is that we first welcome into our own lives the scrutiny of the Holy Spirit so that we can improve our lives. Jesus gives this great parable, one that you've heard many times over. It's in Matthew 25. It's going to be on the screens. It's in your notes. The one entrusted with 5,000 coins immediately went out and traded with the money. This is, by the way, the foundation of this is Jesus talks about this master, this landowner that went away, and he had three servants, and he entrusted each one of them with different amounts, 1,000, 3,000, and 5,000 coins, gold coins. A lot of money, no matter if you got the 1,000 or you got the 5,000, great, great wealth was entrusted to each one. The one entrusted with 5,000 coins immediately went out and traded with the money. Maybe did the stock exchange, did something. And he doubled his investment in the same way the one who was entrusted with 2,000 gold coins traded with the sum and likewise doubled his investment. And the one who had been trusted with 1,000 dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. Then the one who had been entrusted, we're skipping a few verses ahead now. Then the one who had been entrusted with 1,000 gold coins came to his master and said, "Look, sir, I know that you're a hard man to please and you're a shrewd and ruthless businessman." Not a good way to butter your boss up, by the way. "You're terrible. You're a horrible man and everybody's afraid of you, who grows rich on the backs of others. I was afraid of you, so I went out and I hid your money and buried it in the ground. But here it is. Take it, it's yours." You see, this is something Jesus used to say that each one of us are responsible to do with our space, whatever's in our space, to do the very best that we can do with that. Because why would God entrust you with 5,000 of anything? Dollars, 5,000 of emotional wealth, 5,000 of anything at all, influence, position, title, effectiveness, whatever it is that you want in your life, why would God trust you with any of it if you just let what God's already given you stay buried in your life? You see, if this is just a planter box and you've just got everything shoved down under the surface and the soil's on top and you go, "I'm keeping it safe, Lord, don't worry. I'm not going to use any of it. I'm not going to grow any of it. I'm not going to invest any of it because I don't want to lose any of it." It's the way a lot of us treat our money. If I hold on to more of it, I'll get more of it. Well, has that ever worked for you? See, God goes, I'm not motivated to want to give you more. If you know how the story plays out, God takes away the 1,000 that was given to this man and he gives it to the one with 5,000. He said, that one went out and did what he was supposed to do. He took risk and he believed that what I gave him, if he was equally afraid of me, then don't you think the best response would have been to come back to the master and gone, "Look what I've done with the wealth that you've given me." And listen, you and I can spend our lives complaining about how someone else got more than us, how someone else didn't deserve it, how someone else got bigger blessings or caught greater breaks than we did. And you can whine and moan and complain and go, "This is all I got. This is all God gave me. Look how small my space is. I'm not giving any of this away." Or we can say, "Listen, I have an opportunity to take this little bit that I've been given and I want to do big things with it. I don't want to get to the end of my life and be ashamed that I just buried everything God gave me, because I want you to hear this. When you invest more, God gives you more. When you spend more, God gives you more." I'm not talking about going, you're like, "Nice, we weren't going to get the boat because it was going to take us into debt, but we're going to do it Monday morning, PC. Thank you for a good word." You get up and you walk out before I finish the message, right? No, I just mean you take the resources that God gives you and you say, "God, I want to make this matter. I want this to matter in the world." And you go out And when God holds us accountable for everything that we've done, we go, I gave it all to you, God. I trusted all of it. And listen, you'll know that God is pleased with how you invested it because he'll just pour more and more and more and more into your life because God loves people that trust him. Third and finally is this. To build a profile that actually makes a difference in the world, my space has to be my greatest resource. So let me read this passage to you that you maybe heard a ton of times before, but I want you to listen closely. Your lives are like salt among the people. This is Jesus talking about influencers like you and I, followers of him. But if you, like salt, become bland, how can your saltiness be restored? Flavorless salt is good for nothing and will be thrown out and trampled on by others. So Jesus was using a common visual of a food spice, a condiment to add to food. So let me ask you this. How many of you love the plates that are divided and have the little ridges, and there's small section, big section? I love those plates. When I go to somebody's house, if I ever come to your house for a barbecue, you're gonna be my hero if you have those plates, because I don't like my food to touch. If you have baked beans there, and then corn on the cob, and you have one big plate, you're like, well, these are cheaper. I can get 5,000 of these for $7, or I can do the expensive ones. I don't wanna do that. This is the time I want you to spend, even if you have to go into debt, because I don't want my corn on the cob or my chicken or whatever being run over by the baked beans that are just like the blob taking over the plate. Or if you have salad and then everything's getting, and then you have baked beans, which are warm with potato salad, which is supposed to be cold, and then they're just getting together. And I'm like, how many of you like pickles? How many of you don't like pickles? So when you order, those who don't like pickles, when you order and you say, I'll have the classic burger, no pickles. It gets out to you, you open it up because you've got this sinking suspicion. Because it's one of those waiters that memorizes your order. You're like, bro, you're not impressing me. Write it down. That impresses me. When you get back to the table and my order's right, that impresses me, not you memorizing my order. Got it. And I'm like, there's no way you're remembering any of this because I've told you 9 things that I want. So if you order without pickles, you get back, you open it up, and there's pickles there, what does somebody at the table ultimately say? Just take them off. But the pickle juice has already contaminated the burger. Right? Hopefully you're ahead of me. We are the pickle juice in the world. We are meant to be influencers. We are meant to touch people's lives and influence them. All right, ushers, come out real quick. Everyone in the room's gonna get a hula hoop right now. So hurry up, give these guys out. Throw them out real quickly. Take one, just take them, pass them down, give them huge handfuls and let them hand them to themselves. And just hold on to them for a second. So we're gonna give these out really quickly. You see, inside of my space exist my thoughts, my beliefs, my words, my actions, my friendships, my marriage, my money, my faith, my kids, my priorities, my work, my time, my dreams, everything that I am. Now, I want you to take your hoop and I want you to put it over you. Everyone put your hoop over you. Put it all the way down at your hip. Now, probably what you're noticing is, they're like, this is so exciting. I got a hula hoop in church today. All right, we're getting out the last few. When my thoughts, stay with me for just a second because I'm going to close with this. I want you to get what I'm about to say to you. Some of you get it all the way down because I want, listen, your hoops, if you haven't noticed, are touching. They're interfering. It's hard to get them all the way on because the person next to you's got theirs all the way on and they're all touching and they're all overlapping. Listen. So listen. When I've taken the time to invest in the health and the growth, and I've prayed over, and I've spent time on, and I've done the hard work on, I recently, Carson's got his permit now, and we bought an inexpensive car for him, and we live in an HOA community, so you can't park cars on the street. And so I had to add a driveway addition to that. And I had to save money, I went out and I dug up all of that myself. And I had to get a tree out of the ground and grind the stump. And I had to, and I put in at least a week, it was probably 10 days of back-breaking labor. As a matter of fact, my elbows still messed up. I still carry the pain of having done work that I had not done in years to break up. I had to break up concrete, and I had to do all kinds of things that were a labor to get what I wanted. And can I tell you this? Just about three times a week, I stand out in the street, and I look at that driveway, and I just nod, and I smile. Because when that's healthy, and when it's solid, and when it's doing its job, you see that the car is home now, and it's parked on there, and I love seeing it hold the weight of it because there's rebar in there, and there's solid concrete there, and I did a good job of getting that decaying tree out of there so that the roots wouldn't collapse, and the soil wouldn't break underneath, and then the driveway collapses. You see, I did all the hard work to make sure it could hold the weight of that car. And when I do that in my space, guess what? When I come up to you, and when you and I intersect, and when you and I connect, and when you and I have a moment, and when you and I develop a relationship, or you and I speak, all of this stuff can't help but to intersect with your space too. My healthy marriage can be a resource for your failing or your struggling marriage, my healthy finance, and in the same in your life. But listen to me, if you have not done that hard work, I want you to understand you're affecting your spouse, you're affecting your kids, you're affecting generations to come, you're affecting your workplace, you're affecting your church. When you have not taken the time to invest in your space and develop the health of your space, you are negatively affecting all the people that deep down inside you want to positively affect. You want your life to matter, work on your space. You want your life to matter, pray over your space. You want life to matter, feed it with scripture, feed it with prayer, feed it with fellowship in Christ's body, because that's what begins to fertilize your marriage, your money, your thoughts, your words, your actions, all the things that matter in your life. You see, this space right here, this matters no matter how small. You've got a smaller hula hoop than I did because this was $4, yours were $1 a piece. That's just how it goes, okay? You've been given smaller hula hoops. But the reality is, no matter how big this hoop gets, because yours may continue to grow because you continue to expand it because health continues to exist inside of there. But no matter how small it is, I want to tell you, it's intersecting and maybe infecting other people. What kind of infection have you brought? On the first few days of our vacation, Lisa was still sick. She was really, really sick the week leading up. And I got to be honest with you. That is a time in our marriage when I want no affection. I want no contact. I want little communication at all. She can text me or yell to me through the door, but I am not interested in being a nurturing, loving husband during those times. I'm like, you're not ruining my vacation with your sickness. So I was taking emergency and airborne and stuff we got at Jason and Shannon. I was by the fistful. I wasn't even reading the instructions. I was just like, chewables and injectables. I was shooting stuff up my nose. I did not care because I didn't want to be infected by her. Don't be the kind of person that people don't want their space interfering or intersecting with. Be the kind of person that people are bringing their space over to you and they're trying to get all over you. They're trying to get in your space because they know that what you've got matters in their life, affects their life, infects their life. But you've got to start believing that this space is the most important space in your life. Jesus said this, Love others like you love yourself. You've got to love yourself first. Because if this is rotten and contaminated and uncared for, what difference will you make in other people's lives except spreading that and infecting them with that? I love myself enough to want to go to heaven. I don't want to be separated from God and separated from paradise for eternity. I care enough about this guy right here that I want to spend eternity with God. And Jesus said, now, that love for yourself, make that your love for other people. But you see, it had to start here in my space. I can't give you anything to help your marriage if I don't first make sure my marriage is healthy and strong. Can't help you with your finances and telling you how to manage and trust God with your finances if I haven't first gone there and done that myself. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? I want to pray for us. I want to pray for us that over the next several weeks that we invest in our own space in such significant ways that we can't help but to begin to infect and affect the lives of everyone around us. We can change the world by making big changes in small spaces. And we're going to go deeper into our marriage and into our money and into all the things that make up our space and how we grow health there, how we begin to make those changes. There's a very real enemy that doesn't want you to do any of this, that wants you to stay focused on everyone else or wants you to sort of gloss over your space. Going to convince you that everything's okay. No work needs to be done. Christ Jesus, we call on you and we thank you for generously bringing us, sharing with us the presence of you, the Holy Spirit, in our lives. Holy Spirit, we call on you for your conviction, for your discernment, for your wisdom, for your guidance. You are God with us. We need you because on our own, our space will become a dumping ground. It'll become a pool that collects all kinds of things. There's no filters. There's nothing separating the good from the bad. But with you, Holy Spirit, we can become the people of influence and significance and value that you've created us to be. It's not selfish to want to be significant. It's not selfish to want to be valuable. It's not selfish to want to matter in this world. You've created us to matter. And all these distractions keep us from getting there. So we're praying for your help for today and in the weeks to come as we visually, God, and literally carry out these hoops with us to symbolize and represent, to illustrate the space we live in and the influence that we can have. We thank you for this. We believe for change to come in the hours, in the days, in the weeks, and in the months to come. In Jesus' name,